Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business.
Good morning. Hello, wherever you are, whatever time it is. Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show. Jane here. And today I'm really excited to talk about something that I have no personal experience with, no struggles with, have never had, you know, fights with God trying to get control. Just kidding. Obviously, kidding a lot. Today I want to talk about control, and I want to talk about some of the ways that I think, some of the things God has been teaching me recently about control. Just talk a little bit about why I think this is such a struggle for me, for so many people, a feeling just like we want to control. Like, I want to control the outcomes. I want to control how things happen. I just have so much, you know, so much fight in me sometimes to like make things happen in a certain way or get things in a certain way. And I've just been feeling pretty exhausted by that recently. And so wanted to share just a little bit about kind of what the Lord has been doing in my prayer, and also some of the lessons I think I've learned, especially recently, around kind of this fight for control and like where it's coming from and why it's so hard, why it's something that's so hard to give up. So the reason that I got this idea for this podcast was that this weekend, yesterday, one of my best friends was moving, and she was moving, packing up her stuff, moving from one apartment in DC to a new apartment. And if you have ever moved, you know it is the worst. It just is so annoying. There's little pieces of everything everywhere. You're just trying to get stuff together, trying to get it in boxes and from one place to another. And you have like all of these things that, you know, are going to break if you throw them all in a box. So you have to like pad them. And I don't know. I remember when I was moving from New York City down to DC, I had like these four friends who were going to come over and help me pack. And I remember saying, like, that whole week leading up to them coming over, I was like, well, I don't want to do anything because I don't want there to be nothing to do when they get here. And so I packed nothing but myself. And then my friends showed up, and it took the five of us, I swear, 4 or 5 hours to pack everything up, because it's always more than you think, and it's exhausting and frustrating anyway. So I went over to my friend's apartment, and she and her boyfriend were there packing stuff up, and you know, it was the typical, everybody's stressed. It's stressful. It's annoying. And so the two of them had like a bunch of stuff to take to a storage unit. And I said, why don't you just leave me here and I will pack everything for you. Like, give me an hour and everything in this room will be in a box. I will throw certain things away. I will, you know, pack things together. I'll put little labels on stuff. Like, don't worry. Just leave me in this apartment for an hour and let me organize it for you. And I'll get everything in boxes. And my friend was just visibly stressed about it. She was just like, ugh. And again, I have been friends with this girl for 7 years. And she still was like, I don't know if I want to release the control of packing these things in boxes, even though I know I'm just going to move the boxes from one place to another, unpack them, and it will be fine. And so she had every reason to trust that I would do a good job packing her stuff up. She didn't have the time or the capacity to do it. Like, you know, she's emotionally attached to these items, and so packing them will take her longer. I have no emotional attachment to any of them, so I can throw things in boxes and it will be fine. And it took like a decent amount of negotiating with her to get her to take the keys, leave, and go take the first run to the storage unit and leave me in the apartment for an hour. And when she finally left, I ran around the apartment, packed stuff up, threw stuff in boxes, and by the time she got back, everything was in a box, in a suitcase, in a bag, ready to go. And when she walked into the room, she was just like so excited and so happy that things were put away, and all she had to do now was pick up the boxes and move them. But as this whole thing was going down, it made me think about control, and it made me think about, why is it so hard for her to like let me take this stuff and put it away and trust that somebody else can do something for you, right? Because ultimately, her giving up control over the situation and over putting stuff in boxes saved her so much time and emotional energy and stress. And it got done, and she was able to keep moving. But as we were going back and forth, I had so much compassion, because that's me a lot of times, I'm the one who's sitting there going, no, like, I can do it, it's fine. I just don't want you to do it. I'll do it better. Like, I'll do it faster. I can do it. I know where my stuff goes. I know what I want. And it's just like such a deathly spiral of trying to live with peace and joy and trust and hope, at the same time grasping and squeezing the life out of things because you feel like you are the only one who can get them done right. And so, of course, as I'm sitting there spending my hour packing stuff up, I just was able to spend a lot of time in prayer talking to God about, like, why, where is this coming from? And why, and what made me think that I had to be self-sufficient? And, you know, I think the biggest thing too is, like, when I look back on my life and I see situations where I tried to grasp for control or I tried to make something happen, it did not go well. And I don't know if the story of your life is different, but I do encourage you to look backwards and to think about the times where, like, maybe you had an idea of what you wanted or you had an idea of what you thought was going to be good, and then you went for it and you just went all in, you just fought for it. And in those situations, I mean, you can tell, you know when you're pushing for something that isn't right, because there's a lack of peace, there's frustration, the doors are all getting slammed in your face, and you're just, like, I have done it. Like, you're still sitting there going, that's fine, I'm in control, just let me do it. And I used to joke, like, God is so busy, why doesn't he just let me control my own life? But as I look back on my life, there would have been some truly catastrophic consequences if God had given me everything I wanted at the moment I wanted it in the way I wanted it. Because my perspective is just not big enough, right? Like, I can't zoom out the way that God can and look at my life and look at all these little pieces that are coming together in a specific way for specific reasons for my good. And I think that there are, as many times as I have learned this lesson, as many times as I have been reminded that control is not for me, it's still so hard. It is still so hard. And I think that ultimately the reason that control can be so hard and is so hard for me sometimes is that it requires trust. You know, it's like I have, you know, God and I often in prayer will be in different situations. Like, I love meditative prayer and I love being with him. And in most of the situations where I'm with him in prayer, you know, sometimes we're in a boat and he's driving the boat and I'm sitting in the boat. Sometimes he's driving a car. Recently he's been driving a car and I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the car. And those are situations where I'm not in control. And I think it's very intentional that he invites me into those moments, because he is trying to remind me that I'm not in control, but that the most important thing to release the control is that you have to trust, right? Like, there has to be an element of trust. So going back to my friend, she trusted me, but was she able to trust me enough to know that her stuff would end up in boxes, right? Like, I trust God, but do I trust him enough to give him these things that I think I have the best ideas about, that I want, that I can see? I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be a perfect story. Let's make this work. And if this happens, then this will be redeemed through this. And my goodness gracious, I have so many good ideas, like so many good ideas. And I just, but he doesn't use those ideas, right? And can I get to a place of being like, God, I trust you enough to give you the control over situations that I don't understand? And can I trust you enough to take care of me in that? And can I trust you enough to release all these plans and all these places and struggles that I have because I want things my way? And it ultimately comes down to trust. And it ultimately comes down to saying, God, I trust that you are a good father. I think that, you know, there are places, you know, we can go back to, whether it's going into prayer and asking the Lord for greater trust, I think has been a prayer of mine for a long time. And I remember once I went into a confession and I was just talking to this priest and I was like, I feel like I don't trust God. Like, I don't trust him enough. And this priest, and I want to trust him more. And this priest said to me, he said, Jane, you, the desire that you have to trust God shows that you do trust him. And so wherever you are in this continuum, maybe you are totally entrusted to God. I've been reading Abandonment to Divine Providence over the past few months. It's wrecking my world. I absolutely love it. But there's a line in it of allowing your soul to be light as a feather and trusting completely that Divine Providence will take care of us and God will take care of us and he will provide everything that we need. And we can abandon ourselves into his arms because he is a good father. And I think about that a lot because I'm like, you know, every time I'm trying to fight for some sort of control or I'm trying to fight for some sort of thing that I want, like, my soul is not light as a feather. My soul is very heavy, and my soul is dragging along behind me as I'm chasing after things and trying to orchestrate things in a certain way so that I can have what I want when I want it. And it just is such a telltale sign that there is a lack of trust in that relationship, and that, and I want that trust. And so as I had gone to this priest and said, I want more trust, he was so good in reminding me that, you know, wherever you are on that journey, the desire to trust God is a good desire. And it is a desire that he will bless. And I have found that there are ways to increase that trust, right? So in order to release control over our lives, we have to give it to someone else, and we have to give it to God. And, you know, surprise, surprise, he already has that control, right? So it's not as if we're really giving him control. It's like it's the act of accepting and surrendering our lives back to God, who is taking care of us as our good father. And that is where this trust has to come in. And that is where the surrender comes in. And this desire to give him things. And so there are a few things that have been very helpful for me in this journey of trust and this journey of surrendering. One of them, I've spoken about it a lot. It's the surrender novena. I love the surrender novena. It is beautiful. I will link it in this podcast. If you've never prayed a novena is 9 days of prayers. And the surrender novena, you can pray it for any intention. Often I pray the surrender novena over things that I feel I am grasping onto. And so if you are in a situation or a season where you're feeling a lot of tension in something that you want or something that, you know, you're trying to make work, the surrender novena is beautiful, because what you are doing is over and over again, you say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And there are so many words in it that are beautiful. One of the lines that I love is, you are like a child who, after asking your mother to take care of something, goes and does it for yourself and gets in her way. And I feel like in so many situations where I try to get control, that is what is happening. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. Take care of me. I love you. You are so good to me. I've seen you. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. Please go and take care of this situation. And about 10 minutes later, when the situation hasn't been taken care of yet, and I've given him 10 minutes, I get right back in there and I start to mess around in that situation to try to get what I want out of it, not even giving the Lord the space or the opportunity to work. And so then instead of him working and me getting to be light as a feather, I'm getting stressed out and tense and frustrated because I'm trying to do the thing, get the things I'm asking God to do for me, and getting in his way. So then not only does he have to clean up the mess that I am making, but then he also has to take the steps and help me and help guide me to that thing, whether if it was good, help open those doors, and if it was not, close them. And anyway, so I love the surrender novena. I cannot recommend it more. It is so beautiful. There have been years of my life where I have prayed that novena on a loop every single day. I'd get to the end of the 9 days and I'd start over, because there are so many things that you don't even realize. I didn't even realize I was grasping onto and fighting for and trying to control, because that's just the nature of us as humans. We are little idol makers. Our hearts are little idol making factories. And we are always, always trying to grasp for something that is not being handed to us at that moment. So the surrender novena is really, really good. The second thing that's very helpful is praying little prayers to grow in trust. So a great way to learn how to, so for example, if you're building a friendship with somebody and I just moved back. I've been making a lot of new friends right now. And you kind of play this interesting game at the beginning of a friendship where you're starting to learn if someone is reliable and if they're trustworthy and if they are someone of good character and integrity. And you learn this by watching what that other person does. So for example, I have been making some wonderful friends who will make plans, and then they always show up, and then they come early and they bring things, and they are just as invested in building this friendship and this relationship as I am. And when you have friends like that, it's the greatest gift, because you realize, like, oh good, we are both showing up. We are both building a relationship of trust. And so if I say, hey, could you go grab this on your way over here? I know they'll go do that, right? Because we're building this relationship of trust. And in the same way, I'll be going to their house and I'll say, hey, I'm gonna stop by Starbucks. What can I get for you? In the same way, building a relationship of trust with God requires that we give him the opportunity to show his trustworthiness. So that could be as simple as waking up in the morning and saying, Jesus, I surrender this day to you. I give it to you and I trust that you will provide everything I need, every grace I need, every opportunity I need. You're going to, in moments where I'm frustrated or disappointed, you're going to show up. You're going to provide for me in my work and show me opportunities to grow and to look more like you. Whatever those invitations are, you know, a prayer I pray many mornings, most mornings, is Jesus, I give you permission to love me today, and I give you permission to show me how you love me. So building that relationship with him in tiny things, right? In tiny things, that is where we're able to finally to get our relationship from a place of little things and little trust to big trust, and inviting him and in giving him the permission to show up in our lives so that we can come to trust him. So that's really important. And then the third thing that I think is very helpful when thinking about how to release control is going to the scriptures. I've been a huge Psalms girly, this year. I love the Psalms. I've been praying morning and night prayer. I have this amazing, it's like a little book called The Shorter Christian Prayer, and it's just morning and night prayer. It's like 10 minutes in the mornings, in the evenings, and I cannot tell you how much it has changed my life. Like starting my day and ending my day with morning and night prayer. This is what priests and religious pray. They pray 6 times a day. I'm praying 2 times. You can pray 1 time. You can pray half of 1 time. There are mornings where I'll get up and I'll just read one of the Psalms in the morning prayer because I it's just beautiful and I get stuck there and I want to be there in prayer. But praying the Psalms, praying scriptures, one of the verses that has been following me for years and is so important and so good, especially when it comes to control, is Romans 8:28, which is, he works all things for good for those who love him. And remembering that in situations where the thing you're trying to control or the thing that's not, you don't think is working for you, remembering that it is all working for you. And when it's hard to remember that, again, we have to look back. We have to remember. So much of our faith is built on the trust that God has built with us in our past. And there have been, I am sure, so many hard things in your life, things you wanted in your life that you did not get, that you did not have handed to you in the way you wanted them handed to you. But I am sure that if you look at your life today, you can see the value of why. And that can, there's nothing that beats that in terms of thinking about how to trust God with today, is to look back and to see the way he's been faithful, even in awful situations, situations that, you know, you would never want to walk through again, or that you would never wish on anyone. Even in those situations, he's working good. And sometimes it takes a while to see it. Sometimes we won't see the good until we get to heaven. But he's always working for our good. And so getting into the scriptures, whether you're reading the daily gospels, going through a devotional book, praying morning and night prayer, opening your Bible, reading scripture every single day will help remind you of the character of God and remind you that he is trustworthy and that you can let him lead you. The last thing I want to say about control for today is that the reason I think so many of us think we have good ideas about what God should do for us and in our lives is because we see what is happening in other people's lives and want that stuff. And from what we see in other people's lives and from what we see in TV shows and movies and, you know, the media, we have an idea of, like, that is what I want my situation to look like, and I want it to unfold in that way. And the reason this causes problems is that God does not repeat himself in the stories of people, right? God's story for you is so different from his story for me, from his story for all the other people that exist in the world. They're unique and they're beautiful, but they're different. And so while we can only imitate as humans, right? We only have the ability to imitate what we see and to create from what we already see. God is always doing something new, and he is always doing something different. And when we are trying to control and we are trying to manipulate situations and get the things we want, we can only work from a place of imitation. But if we allow God to work, he is working from a place of beautiful, brand new creation. And we would so much rather be in that place. I would so much rather be in that place. I want him to do something new. And a prayer I've prayed a lot is, God, I want the gifts that you give me in my life, I want people to look at those things and say, that was God. You know, I don't want someone to look at my life and say, Jane worked really hard and that's how she figured that out. Or, like, Jane was in the right place at the right time and this is why that happened. Like, I want people to look at my life and say, God is moving in her life and God is opening these doors and God is bringing these things into her life in such a way that you cannot debate that it was him, because I want that kind of life, right? I want that kind of story. I want it to be a story that glorifies God. And again, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, right? Like, it's not easy. Reading the Bible, as we said, point three, like, it is hard to follow God, and it is hard to do things the way that God asks us to do. Like, I mean, I could probably do a whole episode on that. Like, it is hard to be a follower of Christ, but it is worth it. And it is the choice that we are invited to make for great joy and great peace, and for our souls to be light as little feathers. So I just think that remembering the creativity of God and the creative nature of God allows us to freely receive what he's doing, because instead of looking for patterns and trying to figure things out and like guess and predict, like, we can receive what he's doing and who he is fully, completely, and totally. And so I want to close out with a few sentences from Abandonment to Divine Providence, which again is just so good, and I highly recommend it. Okay, here we go. The divine action is essentially good. It does not need to be reformed or controlled. It began at the creation of the world, and to the present time has manifested ever fresh energy. Its operations are without limit, its fecundity inexhaustible. It acted in one way yesterday, today it acts differently. It is the same action applied at each moment to produce ever new effects, and it will extend from eternity to eternity. It has produced Abel, Noah, Abraham, all different types, Isaac, also original, and Jacob from no copy. Neither does Joseph follow any prefigure. Moses has no prototype among his progenitors. David and the prophets are quite apart from the patriarchs. Saint John the Baptist stands alone. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. The apostles act more by the guidance of his spirit than in imitation of his works. I just love that. I love that because you can see, and again, this is why looking at the stories of the saints can be so inspirational for us, because we see, I mean, I remember growing up and thinking that the saints were all just kind of boring and perfect. And I didn't know, right? I didn't know. And it wasn't until I started being really exposed to the stories of these saints and seeing the way that God worked in their lives in the most creative and incredible and abundant ways that I was able to appreciate what it means and what it takes to be a saint. And that is what we are all invited to. We are all invited to sainthood. We are all invited to love God in that way and to allow him to work in our lives. So in conclusion, I know the struggle for control. I get it. I know it. But I also know that it is exhausting and it is frustrating and it can just wear you out. It wears me out. And whenever I catch myself in that moment, which I catch myself there a lot, I catch myself in moments of thinking, oh, you know what would be great is if this happened this way and then this worked out and then this happened. And it's exhausting. And, you know, God laughs. Like, he laughs at our plans. He laughs at these things that we try to put together for ourselves, because his plans are so much better. And when we can get to that place of trusting him, of living in relationship with him in a way that we can trust his plans will always be better, we will be freed, totally freed, to live with our souls as light as feathers and to walk through each day in trust, in hope, and in joy. And it doesn't mean we don't try. It doesn't mean we don't show up. It doesn't mean we don't have hopes and dreams and desires. We have those things and we bring them to God, but ultimately we surrender them because his plan and his control and his power is so much better than anything we could do on our own. Okay, please know my prayers. Please pray for me. We are in this together. I hope that there was something in this that, I don't know, encourages you as you strive to trust God and give him your life, because, you know, it's so worth it and it's so good and he is so good to us. He is such a good father and we can trust him completely and totally. All right, that's it for today. I love you all. Get back to work. Bye. For another episode of the Sunday Monday Show. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do. Sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated.
If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_ or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.